In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Good evening, everyone. It is customary where I come from, when you greet, you get a greeting back. Just to make sure that you are awake. It's a pleasure to be here with you again. We hope you found encouraging hearing about our work in Peru this afternoon. And once again, thank you for your prayers and your support. And tonight, I have the privilege to bring God's wonderful and marvelous words to his church. So before we dig in, let's just pray. Father God, as we look at your word tonight, by your grace, give us ears to hear your voice. By your mercy, grant us understanding to believe and obey your word. And by your Spirit's power, enable us to be faithful witnesses. Amen. Friends, as we look around, we can't help but see that we are living in unprecedented times. We have seen how COVID-19 has caused widespread disruption locally here in England, in Peru, everywhere. We are getting used to post-lockdown realities and coming to terms with present complexities, concerns, anxieties, and fears about what is coming upon our lives, upon our world. And the question is, how do we respond in times like this as great commissioned Christians? And if the same question could have been posed to the disciples back in their days, how would they have answered? They too faced unprecedented times, which not only disrupted their lives, but smashed their hopes and dreams when their leader, their friend, their master got taken and sentenced to death in a cross like a criminal without a fair trial. So how these disciples responded as great commissioned Christians? How did they respond? Oh, I have a little problem here. Oh, sorry, here it is. Well, in the passage our brother Steve just read for us, we find an interesting response. In verse 6, we heard the disciples looking at Jesus and asking him a question: "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" You see, The disciples have forgotten why Jesus called them in the first place. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, we see the reason for their calling. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out. Not to live nice lives, not to worry, and I will send you out to fish for people. I will send you out to fish for people." Jesus called these disciples and those who will follow them to go and fish for people, to go and make disciples of all nations. They were called to fulfill the Great Commission given in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And I'm sure you know it. You see, this commission was given shortly before our Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. And it outlines what Jesus expected his disciples. Listen carefully. His disciples throughout the ages to be doing what he entrusted them in his absence. You see, this wasn't just a simple commission. It was a command. Now, when a command of Jesus is clear, not obeying is not an option. To be a true disciple of Jesus is to follow him as Lord. For a disciple to not obey is to reveal that Jesus is not their Lord. So the command was given for the disciples to continue with the work our Lord Jesus has started. So no matter what, there was work to be done. There were good news of God's kingdom to be preached as a witness to all the world and make disciples of all nations. And to accomplish this enormous task, Jesus' disciples needed a special power. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, we find Jesus' instructions for the disciples to receive this special power. And we read in verse 4 and 5, it says, "On one occasion while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" The instruction for the disciples was to wait for the gift that God the Father had promised. The disciples were not to preach anything, not undertake any missionary program. Their task was just to wait for this special power. And this will be given when they'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This baptism here is no other than the empowering of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples to initiate the work of the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission, we need to remember, was God's plan. So it was essential for God's Spirit upon these disciples to empower them to accomplish Jesus' command. Only the Holy Spirit will bring success and the advancements of the good news. So how do these disciples respond as commissioned Christians? Once again, we read in verse 6, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" I don't know if you read or studied this passage before. Perhaps you have. But when I read, and I just asked myself, why would the disciples ask this question? Did they have other plans? Other ideas perhaps? Or simply, they were preoccupied with worried and anxiety. Perhaps were they fearful about what's coming upon their lives, their families, their nation, their world? Well, we don't know the answer. But what we do know is our Lord Jesus responds. And knowing the disciples' thoughts and the true motives of their hearts, Jesus looks upon the disciples and says in verse 6, and 8, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is an interesting answer, isn't it? The disciples were asking for information, and Jesus gives them something totally different. And this answer contains three things: correction, admonition, and redirection. So let's see how Jesus corrects his disciples. When the disciples ask about Jesus restoring the kingdom to Israel, the idea of kingdom wasn't from Jesus' perspective. The disciples' idea of kingdom was a political and earthly kingdom. That's why they were asking for dates and times. Their kingdom was a concern for the disciples. They couldn't continue under Roman rule and direction. They wanted their own Jewish kingdom. They wanted to be in control of their kingdom. Perhaps they were waiting for Jesus to give them places of honor in this kingdom. During his earthly ministry, in numerous occasions, Jesus spoke about God's kingdom and continued doing so after he was raised from the dead. And now, the disciples' belief has come back. They had hope that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. They had left everything to follow him, thinking he would give them positions of great authority in that kingdom. Though they were shocked and discouraged when Jesus was executed, but now he is back, he is alive, and suddenly they have been revitalized with his resurrection, and now Jesus is going to restore the glory to Israel. You see, the disciples' idea of kingdom was for the Messiah to bring glory and power to the Jewish people in the land of Israel, there and then. But this kingdom, this idea of the disciples' kingdom had nothing to do with God's kingdom. The idea of kingdom was leaving the Gentiles out of the picture. What about preaching forgiveness? What about making disciples of all nations? What about the commission they heard from Jesus? How will they fulfill this commission? The disciples still didn't grasp the kingdom that Jesus was talking about. The disciples didn't grasp the kingdom that Jesus was talking about. So Jesus wants to correct the disciples' self-preoccupation. He wants to help them to not be concerned with this, and corrects their thinking and says to them, Don't be concerned with dates and times or seasons. He says, your question shouldn't be in their list of things to know. It is not for you to know. It is not your concern. In fact, this concern, it's the wrong concern. And we can hear, can we? We can hear a gentle and an appropriate rebuke. So let's see now how Jesus admonishes his disciples. Jesus' answer might have sounded like a rebuke, and indeed, it was a rebuke. But it was a gentle, but nonetheless, a necessary rebuke. The disciples were thinking wrongly, and they needed to know they were thinking wrongly. And my friends, as Christians, as the Church of Christ, sometimes we need to be reminded that we are thinking wrongly when our concerns are the wrong concerns. As with the pandemic, perhaps we have been hearing a lot going on. Some voices were suggesting the end times. Others were pinpointing apocalyptic predictions. And even others announcing distracted conspiracy theories. And perhaps we've been asking, is it the time, Lord? Is it the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, like the disciples, Perhaps we too need to be reminded by our Lord's words in Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 48. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And you are witnesses of these things. You see, the kingdom our Lord Jesus was speaking was a different kingdom. It was a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom where people's hearts and lives would be transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit. Our Lord's response to the disciples' question focused our thoughts on other people. Instead of dwelling in our concerns or on the things we want, the things we desire, our focus should be on the spiritual blessings we have been given already. And we should be sharing them with others. Friends, it is not my intention to bring any rebuke tonight whatsoever. In fact, I don't know what's going on in your lives right now. I don't know what your concerns are. I don't know what you have been through today, last week, during the pandemic. I don't know. But what I do know is that as disciples of Jesus, we have been given a task. We have been commissioned by Jesus, the God of the universe, the risen Jesus, to share his good news of salvation, so that people of all nations can become part of God's new kingdom through faith, repentance, forgiveness, and the receiving gift of the Holy Spirit. So it is not our concern. It is not for us to concern about when will Christ return to fully establish his kingdom here on earth. We simply need to be doing the mission he has given us. The disciples' question and Jesus' answer continue to be relevant today. Like the disciples who eagerly wanted Christ to bless them with a special kingdom, so today many Christians want physical blessings from God's kingdom. They eagerly pray for Christ to return in their lifetime so he will solve their problems. But we must remember that all spiritual blessings Christ brings to our lives are much more important than any physical blessing. In fact, they are much more valuable than all physical blessings put together. Therefore, we shouldn't let our concerns or physical needs distract us from what we already have in Christ. But rather, let us listen to our Lord's words in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this is how Jesus redirects his disciples. Jesus' response redirects the disciples' thoughts, attitudes, desires, with the only one true concern for their lives, which it is to be Jesus' witnesses. And how would a tax collector, a revolutionary, uneducated, an ordinary fisherman, with their constant failings, struggles, and doubts, be witnesses of Jesus and be used in an extraordinary way? How? Well, it will take a powerful God giving them a special power. And this power wasn't just an ordinary power. It was an extraordinary power, as Luke says in chapter 24, verse 49. It will be a clothing with power. This power is the very Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples, transforming them into powerful men. Men of God who turn the world upside down. This power will enable them to bear witness to Jesus' great deeds and resurrection. And when it actually happens, when the Spirit comes upon these disciples, something extraordinary takes place. And this is exactly what happens at Pentecost. Just the next page, this is exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon in an extraordinary way with mighty sounds, sounds like a strong wind, tongues of fire, miraculous language, prophecy, exuberant praise, and 3,000 conversions in one day. And this was the disciples' extraordinary experience, as we see in Acts chapter 2. That day, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. And the crowd came in bewilderment because they could hear them speaking in his own language. Such was the astonishment of the people in the crowd that they say to each other, "Are not all these men speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? How is it? How is this possible?" Some thought it was the result of drunkenness, but this powerful display was not the result of drunkenness. It was the enabling power of the Holy Spirit on giving the disciples the ability to speak in other languages. And now, as the disciples have been empowered, have been clothed with the Holy Spirit, now the disciples are equipped to witness Jesus in Jerusalem, then Samaria, and move outward to the ends of the earth. So these disciples have been empowered and radically transformed to live lives as true witnesses of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now they have finally understood their real concern. It wasn't to do with the idea of kingdom, nor the times, but to be witnesses of their King and his kingdom. Friends, like the disciples, our primary concern is this: to take the resurrection story to the world, because we have been commissioned by our Lord Jesus, and we too have been empowered with the same Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. How do we know this? Well, the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit was given to carry out the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. And we have been clothed with this extraordinary power to be witnesses in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to be Jesus' witnesses to the end of the earth. And dear friends, the work has not been finished yet. There are still people in this world, people in other parts that have not been touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can tell you, the villages I traveled, 16,000 feet high, there's people living in those areas that have not heard who Jesus is. And I'm sure if you ask him, somebody from India, from Africa, they would say the same. And perhaps there's people in your neighborhood, in your family circle, that have not heard that there is a Jesus who loves them. There's a Jesus who cares for them. It's that Jesus inviting them to come to him. Therefore, let us not spend our time, energy, asking God, "Are you going to restore your kingdom today?" We mustn't let our own concerns take up our lives, because they will take our eyes off what is important in God's kingdom. Although in our eyes, they might not be wrong concerns, but they are ultimately no kingdom concerns. As we're still living in an unprecedented time with this pandemic, which continues disrupting our lives, our families, our cities, our world, there is one major concern. There is one major concern, and it still is, to take the good news to the world. And whilst we learn to get used to these post-lockdown realities and all complexities, there is only one major concern, and that is to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus. Therefore, Let's continue to pray for the continuing work of the Holy Spirit and the empowering of His church to take the gospel everywhere. Let's continue to give generously to the work of missions, because by doing so, we are investing in eternal matters. And let's continue to live gospel-empowered lives in the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus and to be His witnesses here and wherever He calls us to go. To the honor and glory of His holy and wonderful name. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the only one true God. Thank you that it is by your grace and mercy that you have touched and opened our hearts and our eyes so that we could see your kingdom, the real kingdom where you have transformed our lives so that we could be more like Jesus. And Lord, we just ask that we will realize that power that you've given to us when we receive Christ into our lives. Your very power, O Holy Spirit, to live lives that will bring honor and glory to you, but also to be true witnesses of you. Help us. Help us not to have our concerns take up our thoughts, our minds, our lives, but help us to be concerned for this one thing, to be your witnesses, a real witnesses, real witness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask in His powerful name, to the glory of His name.